Welcome back to another episode live on YouTube of When Opportunity Knocks, a Triple H production. I'm Andrew LG Hunter.
I'm Angela Hunter. I thought you were going to say more.
I could. Yeah. Yeah. Builder, extraordinaire, husband, no. Philanthropist, entrepreneur, best friend. Let's go. I got them all.
Nice.
Oh, I already said who I was.
Oh, okay. Well, my name's Paul Dice. You can find me on all platforms, Paul Dice 91. I like buying and selling stuff. Today was a complete bust. Mm. Yeah. I went to 7 different places and I didn't buy a thing.
No.
Mm. Yeah.
What about the thing from your sister?
Nope.
Really?
Oh, but she was mad. Aww. She was upset too.
No. Because,
well, I went there and I brought a friend and he was like, "You're not going to pay that, are you?" I was like, well, I
thought so. 600 was low.
Yeah.
I was like, this guy's got to be fucked, but I didn't want to jinx it.
I mean, it was nice enough. I'm sure I could have made a profit, but like then I started thinking about all the time and then moving all my stuff and then like putting all that into it. I was like, I could make money elsewhere.
Yeah, that's key that you were thinking like that, though.
Yeah.
You gotta.
Yeah.
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 Evaluate the situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyways.
Time is money. Space is money. Everything can be equated to money.
And not to mention the weather that we're having right now. I was like, the side of my body just hurts. Well, no, I don't want to do that moving.
No,
so.
It's a crappy day. That's why we're all in like thick sweaters.
Yeah, we're not usually like this, but
yeah,
here we are.
We turned on our furnace for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I did that yesterday,
like half an hour ago.
Nice.
Yeah,
it gets like a little bit of that smell of dust, hey?
Yeah.
If you don't have the fan going.
Yeah.
Well, some of our ducts got cleaned recently.
Oh, okay.
Which was nice.
Nice.
New ductwork.
Yeah. Oh, a bunch of new shit.
Nice.
Money pit.
Not a money pit.
I'm kidding. No, we're doing well on that investment for sure. That's one of the things we like to do on this show. Talk about money. Yeah.
Investments.
Yeah. No. Wow. You know, a lot of, like, majority of us, we start out with nothing, right? So it's cool to hear from other people, their perspectives, and how they go about obtaining the one thing in the world that everybody rates, you know, and uses.
How they keep count.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, today we're going to talk about a different way about thinking of things. It's called design thinking.
Mm. Yeah, no, I seen one of your books at home.
Yeah.
Real thick bugger of a book. And that's what it said. It intrigued me. And then I opened it. I was like, I just can't see myself reading all this.
Design thinking. I'm learning about it in one of my classes. It's sort of a new age class, I guess, transformation of future practice. So just sort of shifting businesses into the 21st century and just changing the way people think. So a big purporter of design thinking was Steve Jobs. And we all love the things that he did. He was an amazing person and he really employed the design thinking philosophy. So it's solving hard problems, or they call it wicked problems, which are just like a giant problem with no real solution, but you can think of ways to make it a little bit easier. And it's supposed to be user focused. So that's where Steve Jobs came in. Like everything he designed was for the user.
Mm-hmm. It's funny that you say him, but when you don't use his products.
No.
Hey, I love his the earbuds.
Oh, yeah.
Earbuds.
Yeah.
Earbuds, rather. Yeah. They're amazing.
They came out after he passed away.
I know. But it's something that he was looking into. Yep. I know that. And I got to say, man, there's something real special about him. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just the user part. Mm. It's literally the frequency that it allows, you know? There's something to that that makes you feel really good.
Mm. Yeah.
And I like his philosophy, his business, the way he did things, and it paved the way for Androids.
Nice. We always go back and forth on or Apple products and Androids.
Yeah.
Just any Androids. Personally, I had, Samsung for us.
Yeah, I mean, I always love Samsung. I tell you guys, like the Androids, you can do more with them. Mm-hmm. I understand that. But the Apple, it's like if I mean, it's you're not wrong there. You're not wrong there. As far as in goes, it's like, yeah, it's like it's a cult following, and it's like all
that's
these products.
Part of the business model.
Yeah, I think we're gonna get into it. I saw your slide that you gave me, so I'm very excited. For
yeah, I mean, it's like that's part of what it is. Is you build a brand, and then it shows status. Like status is big to everyone, whether you want to admit it or not. We all buy things thinking, how is this going to affect my status?
Yeah, that's literally why cars are shiny.
Right? Yeah. Range Rovers, Jaguars.
Yeah.
Or any, like most new things are shiny, right? Yeah. They have that
draws
luster.
You in.
Yeah.
Oh.
So what's your first slide? I'm curious. Was there a build-up to it?
There's sort of a build-up to it. Like we can put some of this stuff up. But what design thinking is there's five stages of it. So there's empathy, define, ideation, prototype, and test. So empathy is the first stage and obviously the most important. It's where you start with. Empathy means talking to users and getting their input. So a little bit different. Steve Jobs just said he knew what people wanted and he went off of his own ideas. And he was right in a lot of senses. But for design thinking to really work great, is you want to talk to people that are going to use your product, use your service, so that you know you're building something that people are going to like and want.
Mm.
Do you employ that in any of your daily lives?
Yes, actually. When it comes to homes, yeah. I'm always asking more questions because, you know, the knowledge you have that got you to where you are is limited in a sense when you think of what you can obtain still. So it's like you ask people anything about anything and you learn more about that said thing, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I do that so I know what's better, what's hot, you know, what people want, what people will use, how can it better their lives?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the best example that I can give with that would be selling seasonal things and understanding over a period of time the market. One of my friends and I, we were having a discussion, more of so an argument on what price and what how good it is and what I could get it for. And he was talking about how he used to go to auctions and get these snowblowers for dirt cheap, and he had a garage full of them. I asked him when that was. He's like, yeah, each one was $250, but they were brand new, $1,000. And we were arguing about price. And I was like, okay, well, how long ago was this? And he said, 5 years ago. I'm like, well, okay, 5 years ago, I mean, the scamdemic happened and then inflation and like wars. Like, mm-hmm. We're talking about a long period of time of all that shit happening until now. So you got to be up to date with all your things and figure out what is seasonal, what happened last year. And you'll have a better understanding of what's going to happen this year. Mm. So with snowblowers, what are they now and what's a good price?
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of ties in with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, asking questions.
Yeah. Well, knowing the future of like what's going to happen this season. Well, we're probably going to get dumped with snow mm-hmm. at some point.
Yep.
And people are going to be scrambling to get snowblowers at the last second. And, you know, it's going to be the guy with... that bought them all summer for $100 a piece
mm-hmm.
that's going to make a killing.
Who and knew
he's
going to
sell
wanted.
Them for $550. Yeah. Because yeah. they're right now selling for $700 to $1,000, just $1,200 brand
yeah,
new.
Yeah, I love that. I love that because it's always a win-win-win, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to be like air conditioners too. Like before it was kind of a luxury here to have an air conditioner because it never really got that hot for that long. And now we've been like hit with heat waves every summer and every store is always sold out because there was no demand before.
Yeah. Well, and that's another thing. I mean, you buy an air conditioner in the wintertime for $100, and then in the summertime you sell it for $350. You're gonna double your money. I mean, I'm giving you such sauce right now. I'm just gonna stop right now.
No, that's what we're here to do. Yeah, damn. We're here to do that. I mean, yeah. You don't gotta give away all your tricks.
Yeah, well, you
know, that one is like
soon enough we're gonna see.
FBI, open up!
Oh, shit.
I think we're gonna stop. Yeah. I think a good example of the design thinking, and I can't remember if we talked about it last week or the week before, but our friend that did the graphic design for us all the time, where she takes the time to sit down with you and say, you know, what is this for? What is your brand trying to say? How does your personality tie into your brand? And really like ask those questions that get like deep down to the personality of people. And that's sort of one of the design thinking exercises we did in class where you watch a real life person. It would be better to interview, but I mean, we were a class. So we watched a YouTube video of them being interviewed. And then we sort of design a persona around them. Like, what are they like? What is their background? How does their environment affect them? And how would the product change that for them? And how would they relate to it?
Yeah. You know what's interesting is when I had that turning point in my life where I like grew up, you know what I mean?
Much later than mine.
Yeah. Well, I went from who I was to who I was becoming, right?
Yeah.
And I used the same techniques. I just didn't know there was a name for it and know that I was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I pictured everything I wanted to be and became it slowly, right?
Yeah.
That's interesting. So that goes...
That ties right in. Yeah, you're a design thinker.
That's personal and business. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Like, I want to know more about this, actually.
I hope so.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I passed the book at home and I seen it and I was like, oh wow, I gotta dedicate a lot of time to that. I have so much going on already. Yeah. You know, so but now the Cliff Notes is very nice, very helpful.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it would be helpful when I was in class and just like going through all these things, like this is a good topic. This is a good discussion. Because I mean, we all have talked about Steve Jobs lots and the way he's run things, and it's great to us. And we do a lot of these design thinking things without knowing it. So it's kind of nice to discuss it and give it life, share it.
Yeah, I love that.
We could bring up the first
yep.
thing if you no want problem, and have no a look problem. At it.
What do we got here?
Let's see.
What is design thinking? Non-linear. Blah, oh,
you went
blah,
over
blah,
this.
Blah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My bad.
Empathize,
okay.
Define, ideate. I think I had ideation. Same thing.
Yeah. I prototype thought that sounded case, weird test. When you said that. Ideation, though. I was like,
same thing.
Yeah. Same. Is this a video for us?
I didn't actually watch the video.
Okay.
I
well,
just
let's
thought,
not do it. We don't want to get hit with anything.
Yeah. So just like develop and refine skills to address hard challenges. So, I mean, a hard challenge for Steve Jobs, if we're running with that example, was computers were a brand new technology. They were massive. Only governments and labs could afford them because of how huge they were. But everyone in the world could see the good that they could do. Like, they could process things faster. They could make working easier. And so having a personal computer, like the first Macintosh, was huge. Because now you can do all these things. Like, you don't need a typewriter. It's easier. You don't have to handwrite stuff. And the font type, I remember being a huge thing.
I remember the typing in school where they were like, no, you got to have the four fingers on and how you do it properly.
Yeah, and then they'd start hiding your hands so you weren't looking down to
type
faster.
I remember walking into the first computer lab at school. And it was like a big deal, you know, and like this was just some futuristic thing that, you know, we were sort of being forced to use, but everyone wanted to use it.
Yeah,
you know?
It was exciting.
Yeah.
I remember too my school having like after a while having the computer labs and then specifically the Mac lab. Like there was computer labs and they all had, it was mostly Windows, and there was only one room that was the Mac lab and it had like 8 Macintoshes. Yeah. Which,
Oregon Trail.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
You know, majority of our listeners are going to be like spot on with all this. They're going to be like, I remember that.
Yeah.
Because our demographic is right in our age. Yeah. So
are you bringing back elementary school memories? Like, I got 30 words per minute on my first typing test.
Man, I remember I got up to 85.
Perfect.
Yeah, yeah. But they give you the same thing over and over and over again. So I just like, yeah. I could do that section 85 words per minute. I couldn't do that for everything I typed. Okay. Right?
In my like, wow, that's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. I just kept hitting back instead of like closing out and finishing it. So then it would be like, that was your score. I just went back and then I got like, banger.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, to graduate, I think I had the legal assistant course. I had to have 75 words per minute to graduate with like so many mistakes on their different things. Like you had to. A legal thing you had to type out.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. That was hard.
You think, how would you do now?
Now? It's still pretty good.
You think?
Yeah, because I type a lot in school. So a lot of students in my class, I don't think they've done as many typing classes, like because I don't think any of them went to business college. Or if they did, it's a small few of us. So I can look at the board and type notes like without looking down.
Yeah. Nice.
So I think I'm pretty fast still. I do a lot of typing.
Your hands know what your mind wants.
Yeah.
Design thinking.
Design thinking.
I'm looking ahead here as design thinking. Here, well, I'll just show you here.
Yeah.
Is this, what is this? You know what we're doing here?
Oh, like, so moving from the empathize stage where you build your personas, you talk to people, and then you move on to define, which is where you define the hard problem that you're trying to solve. So what is the hard problem? So for Apple, it was there's this great technology out there, but the average person cannot access it.
Mm. Oh, okay.
So how do we define that? So you're trying to make something that's so huge, like computers were hundreds of pounds and they took a massive space. Mm. And putting it into this little, I'm sure they were like 15, 20 pounds back then.
Well, but something you could put on a desk. Ones. Yeah, there was computers before that were like the size of this room.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, NASA.
So they're trying to get it. Yeah, they're trying to get it smaller.
Yeah.
So that's the defined problem. And then, you know, you make ideas and prototypes and you can see like the lines are jumping back and forth.
Yeah.
So you empathize, you've defined it. You're trying to make an idea. Maybe you have to go backwards. Like, okay, this isn't working.
Right.
You've made a prototype. It doesn't work. You need to go back and speak to the users and say, you know, this function is really hard to use. Can the average person figure it out? And if not, how do we make it so they can? Like, I've used so much Windows and PC that when I pick up an Apple phone or a Mac computer, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Oh, wow.
I can't open or close anything.
Yeah, I was in your shoes. Yeah definitely. There's probably a ton of people listening to us that have been in your very shoes. Mm-hmm. You'd Google it. You literally Google it because like even the snippet tool and like because it's so we've been so conditioned with Windows because like Apple was always kind of like the meh product and now it's like becoming more user-friendly product, but that's only because that the next generation is like, this is our car.
Yeah, it's a status symbol.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And so Apple's it's not necessarily, status. It's easier because like we were brought up with the hard thing.
Yeah.
And the hard thing was Windows.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my belief anyway.
Yeah, because Apple was supposed to be a lot easier to use than Windows, but Windows was just so much more accessible and affordable that it like schools employ it. Businesses because it's just cheap. It's a cheaper option and you need that. So a lot of us have gone that way. Like I got an iPhone, I think in 2010, a really long time ago. And I had it for like 3 to 4 months. And I couldn't figure it out. It was so hard.
Well, if you ever decide to switch, I'll give you a program.
It's strange. So you say it's user friendly and
the
design thinking and the five stages of that that's based on that's based on like seeing what the user wants but I'm starting to think with us talking about it that's not like it maybe it's more about showing what the user wants because if it's so user friendly, but each business, their stuff's user friendly for those people that they've cultivated, and like Android, it's different, right? It's different from going back and forth. So I mean, is it that you want to know what the people want, or do you tell what the people want? See, do you just tell the people what they want?
You dig you know? Down to what they want and then make ways.
Because wouldn't we all want the same thing? So wouldn't it be
like that's why it's really
use
hard.
Both products just as easily?
Yeah. See, that's when it's really hard because not everyone wants the same things. Like everyone is different, right? And so we want sort of the same things, but we want them differently. Some people think it's easier to do things one way. And some people refuse to do it that way and they want to do it a totally different way.
I see where you're coming from because like the sense of freedom is there with Apple. Freedom is with, in a sense, with Microsoft. Because like you, this Apple Watch, you're able to change the like the this part and this part. And then you can change the face on like what you're actually seeing, right? But the hardware you can't change, and whatever's on here, like you can install certain things, but this is approved by Apple. Now Windows, if you were to get a I don't know if they even have watches, but let's say a Samsung Galaxy watch. Do they?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, those I'm sure you could get some kind of widget that was made by some guy in Japan and just throw it up on there and it would be able to do way more than this thing. Like, guaranteed. And I don't even need to really, I mean, that's Paul guarantee right there. You know, I think that's where you're coming from with like a sense of freedom and like you can change stuff with Apple, but really everything's set in stone. Like it really is. But with Windows, you can put any kind of thing. You can program your own things with Apple. It's not so much. You got to get approval for certain apps too, to be on their platform.
Yeah, I guess I'm just struggling with the design thinking as a way to get to know your customer, and then, you know, maybe the dark side of that of just like telling the customer.
Yeah, but I mean, if you ask people enough questions and they tell you what they want, you can dig down to, okay, they're saying they want this, but they do things
this way.
So they really would like to do it this way better if you showed them.
Yeah.
And so that is part of it.
Okay.
So I can, I see what you're saying, but I think that is part of it.
Okay. Yeah. They've honed in on the two different types of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So time to accumulate information, analyzing your observations. Jesus. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the define stage is pretty, you need to find the problem, define it in a way that you can start solving it. So, like, there's world hunger. Okay, that's a massive problem. So break that down. Why is
Well, Elon already did. He's like, I'll give you the money. Show me a business plan.
Yeah.
Still hasn't shown it, and that was a year ago.
There's enough money in the world that no one has to go hungry, but that's just exactly it. How do you disperse it? How do you do this fairly? You can't just, like, communism doesn't always work. It's in some countries, but it doesn't always work. You can't just take from some people to give to some people to level the playing field, because people don't want a level playing field. That's not what we want out of life. We want to scale up for ourselves. Mm-hmm. We don't care about someone we don't know. That's hundreds of miles away.
The majority would say
Yeah.
I would think so.
Yeah. You would pretend to be like, oh, of course I care, you know, in front of people. But deep down, as long as you're getting deep down, as long as you're getting what you want out of life, you don't really care as much if others are.
I'm not fucking leaving.
Yeah. Like, you want to help where you can. I donate to charity. I help where I can. But I always make sure that I'm fed. Rude. You don't donate to charity.
I wish I had a button for that.
I know that you do.
What?
Charity? What?
Have you never donated to charity? I'm sure you have. We've gone to charitable.
Yeah, I have actually.
Oh,
I'm
that's
going for
true.
A cancer walk tomorrow.
I do that all the time.
Yeah. So we care, but we also are out here trying to build something for ourselves and making sure that we're fed. Yeah. We're not going to give it all away.
Yeah,
and nobody
would. Yeah. You know, I'm a little different, though.
Yeah. <okay. laughs>
Nice.
You are different on the outside. I'm talking about the inside.
No, it's you know, yeah, I realize I have to eat, and it should, you know, number one should be first. But I tell you, when you put it up next to the main thing that I want, I'd give it all up.
You'd give what all up?
I'd give all the money. I'd give all the attention. You know, whatever. I'd give it all up to have the thing that I want.
What thing do you want?
That's mine to have. No, that's mine. I'm just saying. Yeah.
You'd give all of it away?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm saying it's not always about yourself, you know?
No, I know that. And I'm not saying that. I do things for others all day, every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
I can't say what my thing is, otherwise it would totally make me seem hypocritical, but everyone does want what they want.
So anyways.
That was the button for me. I like money. What can I say?
When you pass the define stage, that's where you get into what I think is our favorite stage.
Let's see. Prototype?
Ideate.
Oh.
The idea phase.
Oh,
the
shit.
Idea
I'm
phase.
Not even, there we go. Sorry, guys. There we go.
Idea. Okay. We love coming up with ideas.
Ideate
or ideation. Same thing. We love coming up with ideas. We've come up with a bazillion ideas for a million different things.
Yeah.
We just
and
keep
we've acted
at
on
it.
Quite a few.
Bazillion,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, how much is
I'm
a
sure
bazillion?
We've done it.
It's just less than infinity.
Nice.
I
times
think,
two.
I think this is my favorite stage. I don't know.
Ideate?
Yeah.
I certainly like it. I like the brainstorming all the time. Mm-hmm. Design thinking for me is an everyday okay. It's an everyday occasion.
Occurrence?
Is that what I was going for?
I think so. For everyday?
Yeah, okay.
Because you're not taking a break.
Very well.
Yeah, I mean, ideate is nice. I would prefer the spot where you are doing the action and then you see progression. That's like
prototype.
My favorite part.
So favorite prototype.
Part. Yeah, favorite part. And then when you see it working, you're like, knew it.
Yeah.
Or you're like, shit, I want it better. Or like, you know, there's always something. But
Yeah, I mean, I like the build-up. I like the build-up. So everything, you know, to that success point. And I know this is going to sound weird, but I feel like that's my thing. That's what I'm chasing. You know, everything up into that. And then when I get that, it's never enough anyways. And then I restart building
you've already,
up to the next thing.
before you touch that success part, it's almost like, okay, you're like, yeah, we're just about to obtain that. And then you're like, oops, sorry, my goal is actually here.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, no, my goal's right here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's never enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the build up. So I'd agree. The ideate period was at stage three.
Yeah.
I'm a stage three.
I'm a stage three.
Yeah. Stage three, ideate here.
I like the idea phase because then you got a lot of things flowing. Like we've talked for hours about different ideas and then you just keep building off of it and then it grows to something bigger than you even thought it would at the beginning.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
Daddy, chill.
Yeah.
It grows.
Nice.
It grows into a prototype. Stage four. Start to create solutions. You've defined the problem. You've thought of some great ideas, some bad ideas, which you need bad ideas. Not everything's a great idea. You need bad ideas to learn from because you can build off of them too.
That's seriously what makes mediocre people into great people, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the trial and error. Make mistakes. Learn from them. Grow.
Yeah. I definitely
I've seen
them
stage five
way.
Though, I think. And
test.
That's what we were just talking about, you know, trying it out, getting there.
Well, wait, we skipped prototype. We got to talk about prototype. The experimental phase. Try different things, put them together, see how they fit. This is basically your whole job.
Nice. I put things together and take them apart.
My house is a prototype.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Right now, my bathroom is all taken apart.
Yeah.
But it'll soon be together into hopefully a better bathroom.
I'm going to get a plaque for that house, that particular house. It says prototype. And
prototype
number
one.
Yeah. 0001.
Actually, Paul, yours might be 001.
Hmm.
No.
No. It's just a.
God, no.
It's just a.
Yeah.
wanted the line through. That's which one it was.
No, I. That's dude, clients' houses aren't the same, and this was not my first.
I know.
By any
standard. I wasn't your
but
first.
I mean, first out of us. No.
But prototype, yeah. I think I derailed us. Sorry.
Whatever. We can move on. The test stage.
Whoa, there we go. Test.
Stage five.
Stage five tester.
So yeah, try out the prototype, see how your ideas are doing, and then sometimes this puts you right back to stage one. If it doesn't work out like you wanted, you need to talk to people, you need to figure it out, you need to redefine what the new problem is and start over.
That makes sense. I think sometimes it can be hard for people to like
to give up.
Yeah, to
you've
take
gone so far,
right? To put your all into something,
yeah,
and then take that like step back, you know, and look at it unbiasedly and be like, okay, is this working? Is this not working? And then,
I think this is a big fault of humanity. Is that we should cherish time because that's really all we have in this life. But we get stuck on things based on the amount of time we put into it. So if you spend 5 years designing this great product and you're so proud of it and it hits the market and it's a flop, people just aren't passionate like you are about it.
Mm-hmm.
This is where people give up. They don't want to start over. They're like, no, this is perfect and it's everyone else that's wrong. It's not me. Yeah.
Yeah, you exactly see that lots on Dragon's Den, actually.
Yes.
There's some of those business people, they just...
I'm not fucking leaving!
Yeah.
They are married to
their diehards,
idea.
And they'll go down with the ship.
Yeah.
You know? It's sad.
It's unfortunate.
You can't do that. If it's not working, you'll know. If there's no profit, if there's no progress, if you're not in a right place, take that unbiased look.
Mm.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yeah, and listen to people. I think people get stuck on the I'm right and you're wrong, and they don't actually listen to the critiques. Like, just listen to people. They're not critiquing you to be mean to you. They're trying to help you and perhaps save you the next 5 years of forcing something that nobody wants.
Yeah.
How dare you?
I think this was a big... We were talking about this in class. This was a big thing for Apple when Steve Jobs was bought out of Apple and left and started a new company.
Next.
And Apple bought it just to get him back. And then when he came back, he cut out 60 or 70% of their products.
Yeah.
And was like, these are all garbage. You need to focus on the few that are good. You don't need 20 options.
Uh-huh.
People get overwhelmed and they don't
know
what to
do about this.
Really?
No.
They had so many things out there and people just were not using them.
I knew that. I knew that part, but I didn't know that they got rid of them. I knew they got rid of them. Or he didn't they get
they
get
got rid,
rid
of him,
him
yeah and then so he started his own company
and then they wanted him
back. So they bought the company to have
well,
him back.
Well, it's funny from my understanding he made that company with the intent on like becoming competitor and them taking him back.
Yeah so he did it.
That was his whole ploy. You know, from that stance of like, I don't want to destroy them. I want them to come back to me.
Right? Which is hilarious.
And it totally worked. And so he scrapped like a whole bunch of their products and was like, these are the good ones. We need to focus on making them better because this is what's going to make us.
Mm.
You don't need 50 options. People get overwhelmed and it doesn't work. And then you have 50 semi-good products because you're spread so thin trying to develop all of them. Like have... three really good ones that people like with a few variations, and that's what makes people happy.
I would agree.
Yeah. You have
the
iPod.
Good, better, best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, now it's sort of combined. Like, they had the iPod, the iPhone, and the iPad, and now they've sort of combined them into just the iPhone does what all of them did, and it's big enough to use as an iPad.
Yeah. Remember when they were music and computers?
Yeah.
And there were phones and fucking everything.
MP3s.
Yeah.
Downloading.
Yeah, they're
legally, of course.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for like stupid amounts of money. you'd have to pay for music from.
Oh yeah.
I think still actually. Yeah. You know, I'm a Spotify guy.
Yeah. Same. Yeah.
Me too.
I got your next slide here. If you
sure. Yeah. Let's see that. Okay. I think this is the one with his quote, right? Oh no. But okay, yeah. So this is talking about Apple and how they think differently. So instead of coming at it from engineers, they came at it from designers. So people that would actually use it. Yeah. So it's not just about how it looks, but how people work with it. So this is the whole status thing. Like if you focus on things that look great, it puts you as a status symbol. Mm. And that's 100% what Apple is. And
it's
there's
like
a
Rolls Royce for cars.
Yeah, there's a bunch of luxury car brands, and it's, you know, like people like Chevys. They're reliable, they're cheap, they're affordable, and lots of people have had them as their first car. But that's like not very many people's dream car because that's not a status symbol. And I think Apple's kind of the same way for a lot of people.
Hmm. Even with that bite taken out, hey?
Yeah. Who wants a used Apple?
What the hell is that?
Well, I did that when I bought it.
It's gonna wilt. Soon.
Is that actually? Right? I don't want to
wither.
Close it.
It's going to wither away.
Yeah,
soon.
There's a big old bite.
Well, one bite. No teeth marks.
That's true.
Maybe
no teeth
bite.
Marks. Well, yeah. Maybe it was just cut.
Yeah.
Less dirty.
All right.
Reading into it a little bit.
Yeah.
That's what excellent we do. Execution.
Yes. So quality.
That wasn't excellent at all.
That was not excellent execution. Quality product. So, and that same goes for services. Like if you're offering a yoga class and you're yelling at your students, you're not giving excellent service. People go to yoga to relax.
Mm. Are you talking about customer experience?
No, excellent execution. Oh. It's the quality.
Oh. Quality
so
of the product?
Focused on quality of the product. Yeah. And I'm just saying a service is a product. Mm-hmm. So you need to execute 100%. Your services. Yeah.
Okay.
Customer experience. I mean, obviously that's huge. Customer experience has gone downhill in our lifetime and it's awful to see.
They don't even ask me if I want fries with that anymore, by the way.
Oh my God. Have you gone to Tim Hortons? All they ever say, you want anything else? You want anything else? You want anything else?
Yeah.
And then,
you know what I found out today at Tim Hortons? They truly gave in. Their breakfast goes till 4 p.m.
I like breakfast.
Yeah.
Everyone any time of the
breakfast.
Day.
Yeah, but there used to be like a time for breakfast, and that was that. Yeah. Now it's just anarchy. You know?
A lot of people, I think it was a couple of years ago, switched to the 24-hour breakfast because there's so many shift workers now.
Yeah.
They don't
want to. I guess they all need breakfast when they start their shift.
Yeah. Well, if you're waking up at a weird time, like it's breakfast in your life.
Yeah.
You got to cater to the people. That's that customer experience.
What time do our listeners eat breakfast?
24 hours?
I don't want to know.
I'm interested.
All right.
Yeah.
Let us know.
When do you like your breakfast?
Yeah. Are you a 4 p.m.er?
I am.
Good Lord.
I know. I could have breakfast at like nighttime.
I would eat breakfast for supper.
Back when I ate bacon I could agree with that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, you eat turkey bacon now.
Fuck. What a joke. You know the difference. It's better than the chicken, though.
My God.
I don't know if our listeners eat an alternative to bacon, because there really is not one.
No, turkey bacon's the
turkey's
closest.
It's the closest.
Chicken bacon's disgusting. Like, don't even waste your time.
Yeah, Jesus.
Sorry for the makers of chicken bacon.
Sorry for
not a good product.
The derailment here. Now we're on to bacon.
Yeah, okay. Let's get
hiring the right people.
Be the salespeople, the design team. So find the right people. I mean, it took us a while to figure out that we would work great together, and we found the right people.
Nice facts.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know what else to say about that. Find the right people. I don't know. How do you find the right people? Meet as many people as you can.
Mm.
And kind of be open about what your ideas are. And then if people kind of shoot them down, you'll know right away if they're not the right people to work with.
Hmm? Well, hold on here. Okay. If somebody... Why would you say that? Like if somebody...
Yeah, why would you say that?
That's not the way I meant to say that. But why?
Well, I mean,
why?
If you have a shitty idea and you probably shouldn't.
Right? It goes back to that Dragon's Den thing. Like, you know, how
this
do
is
you,
saying
how do you
have
know?
A good idea.
Yeah, how
and
do you,
you're all
what if
interested
they're like, it's
in
a
it.
Shitty idea and you think it's a great idea, but it's actually a shitty idea and they were right, but you're like, you man.
Yeah.
I mean, find people that don't tear you down, but I think that's kind of what you were getting at.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I'm probably
yeah. That's what I was
constantly
getting at. Yeah,
put down everything you say.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was getting at for sure. Because
just be careful.
There's lots of people have really good ideas to create something, and but they don't act on it or they don't pursue it further than just the thought of it. I
yeah,
don't know.
They got negative people in their life being like, oh,
yeah,
why waste
like,
your time on that?
I had
yeah.
a really, I case in point, I can think of one where I had a really good idea for a website and it was selling certain products, which I'm not going to disclose because I still have the domain name for it. And I don't know why I even asked this person, old person I used to work with. She was like, no, that sounds like a weird idea. It wouldn't work. And I just took it at face value of what she said and was like, hey, yeah, it won't work. But then I got to thinking about it. This is fast forward 8 years later. I'm like, no, it was a really good idea. I should probably just not.
Has somebody done it since?
I'm sure there is a couple people
that
do
it. You should look into it. If somebody hasn't done it still.
But no one's really done it the way I want to do it. But everyone on the planet does it. I can't go more without giving it away.
Is there a big cost? Like, what's your ROI on that?
There's a big holding cost of like the products, and it's I can't go anywhere.
Is it recoupable within a year?
Yes, it is.
Like from a different source of income.
I can't give more.
I'm just curious.
We can talk about this after.
From a different source of income, is that upfront cost to do that thing recoupable within a year?
Yeah.
Then fucking do it. Why not?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Totally do it.
All right.
Yeah. Woo!
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's a good way to go about things. You know, if our listeners are a little scared to try something, see what the return of investment is, right? If you can make that back, even with that failing, and there is no return on that, but you can make that back from a different source of income within a short period of time, give it a try. If anything, you're going to learn some knowledge from it, and that's great.
Yeah.
Good.
But I will learn because I will get feedback from my customers.
Right. Mm. Feedback is huge. Like, critiques aren't always negative. Like, feedback should help you grow and keep that design process alive. Like, you should always be redesigning because the world is constantly changing and people's needs are changing and evolving. So you need to keep up with it.
Mm. Did that at the same time.
Yeah, we seem to do that lots. Mm. Yeah, yes, yeah. I concur.
Yeah. Mm. Strong point.
And?
Product strategy. Yeah, I don't know what to say about that. Oh, the hype. Hype is huge nowadays.
Oh, yeah. Like, and easily able to do with social media.
Yeah, get ambassadors, get pictures, get trends. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's wild to see what people will do for 10% I'm off, you know?
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah, totally I've been fair. Offered a lot of ambassador things. And yeah, they'll just, buy our product and we'll give you a 25% off coupon and just take a picture using it.
Yeah, and then you get to tell people you're an ambassador.
Yeah.
But you paid us.
Yeah. And people love that shit.
Yeah.
Feels good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's nice to be wanted.
It is.
Yeah, fair. Yeah. I get the ones from Instagram where they're like, hey, I'd love for you to be an ambassador. You look like just the person to show off our brand. All you have to do is sign up for a membership, $199 a month on our website, and you get 20% off of our stuff.
Nice.
And it's like overpriced stuff for like $300. That's probably not the way to market your thing. Yeah. But hey, if they're making it work, I don't know.
Yeah, if you can make that work, good for you.
Bruh. I get these comments every so often that are like, They're just random people, but they have a community page, right? And they're like, hey, you should post this there. And so I'll go and like post it there. And then they're like, yeah, now buy this, do this. It's ridiculous. No. They'll come at you any way they can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sad.
Yeah. Just how do you sleep at night?
Just disgusting. Honestly, you know, you guys.
Between that and all the phone calls I get. Are you kidding?
Oh. Yeah.
They're just like ranting, like, I'm going to jail if I don't do something.
Oh,
like, the scam. I was getting scams because that other thing reminded me of that. Yeah. Basically, those comments are scams. So I'm just thinking.
What is it? The IRS is in the States, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had them call me and I was like, I'm a Canadian citizen. They're like, if you don't give us blah, blah, blah amount. And I was like, fuck you.
One that I get all the time
is Amazon.
This
large amount in gift cards.
Yeah. One that I get all the time is Amazon. They're like, oh, your Amazon package is being held. And it's like, oh, really? Because. Like,
yeah, well,
I just got it.
So. You know, I'll just email them and say I want my money back.
Yeah.
Or you know what? I'll look at my credit card statement and just do that.
Yeah, like, I'll check my Amazon account and see where it is in transit. Like, I don't need your lie to me.
Sad thing about that is there is a lot of scams and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Even with all the hype out there about them.
Yeah. Speaking of hype, back to Apple. I got a graph here if you want to go over that with us.
Well, the graph, okay, this was just kind of to show like the product thing. So. You know, they started with iPod and then you sort of keep developing. So you can see where they've designed problems here. Like the iPod Classic, you can see songs and stuff. And then they had iPod Photo. So you could take pictures with it when you were out, have pictures of your album and stuff. And then iPod Mini for people that, you know, you're going on a jog and you don't want to carry that heavy. Do you remember the iPod Classic?
Yeah.
That thing was heavy in your hand.
Yeah, I remember. And so,
well, I remember when the iPod Shuffle came out.
Yeah,
I
mean, can't see anything on there. But it was supposed to be a cheaper product for people that couldn't afford the classic product. So, you know, there's just in every stage of this, you can see where they redefined a problem with the product to bring out something new.
Yeah, it looks like, too, they like went back to scratch to like went back to the beginning and then came up with the phone there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like Steve Jobs was never afraid to restart.
The iPad rules them all.
Well, and they even have like the iPad Mini.
Yeah.
It's basically a phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, that iPod Touch is basically the iPhone now.
Crazy. Yeah, when I saw this on the Flash, I thought this was a little bit different, but this is literally the evolution of the iPod. That's crazy.
So yeah, you can see where it starts and then they define a problem. Like people love this product, but there's other products out there that they're buying for some reason. How can we draw them back to ours? Make it smaller, make it more affordable, make it different colors, make it have different features.
Different sizes and screens.
Let's get rid of it all together and just give them headphones.
Cool.
That is cool.
Let's bring us back here.
I could
watch that forever.
It was making me think of like all the different sizes that I've seen over the years. There was like crazes of everyone.
Yeah.
You know, look how big my phone is. You know, then it was like, look how tiny it is. It's funny. The hype. The big part.
I think to sort of close this off, because we've gone through all the stages, let's talk about some of the obstacles to design thinking. So design thinking is supposed to be for very hard problems to solve that are very broad. And so one of the biggest obstacles is short-term thinking. Like people are trying to solve this massive, they're usually systemic problems, and you're coming at it with short-term thoughts. Like, oh, well, how can we make it better for the next year or two versus the next few generations? Yeah. How are they going to view it?
Mm. I love that.
So they're thinking short-term or?
That's the obstacle to design thinking. Like you can't come in it with a short-term thought.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I like thinking generations ahead too, which is, you know, it can be sad at sometimes though, you know, because then you're like, I'm just like a, you know, a cod in this bigger,
a blip.
Yeah, yeah, just a small speck.
I feel that every time, you know, any history talk comes up because you're thinking about the 1700s and that. That was a long time ago, and you're thinking, my God, like the way people lived then, the things that were happening then, like it was so long ago, and there was millions of people then, and they're just gone.
I want that so bad to be remembered.
Mm.
Oh, God damn.
That's that long-term thinking.
Yeah, yeah, you know, it can be, there's like a double-edged sword there, you know? It's important to be able to think like that, but then it's also like, man, to know the things you know and to see the things, you know, to have that design thinking and, you know, really the ability to see into the future, really, because that's what that does.
Yeah.
You know, that can be terrible. That's a lot of weight to bear.
It is. Which is why it's not for everyone.
Yeah. I do like it, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Another obstacle is building a design culture. And so, I mean, with Apple, he had to get rid of a bunch of staff. And really, to employ design thinking in the workplace, everyone needs to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. It has to come from the leaders. They have to lead by example and get everyone really involved in the process. Otherwise, I don't think it lasts long term.
That's true. And then having, like, I was just watching this guy on Instagram. I don't remember his name, but he said, like, to have that one, not, you know, bad person, but, like, somebody that doesn't fit, you know, the structure, the plan, can be very detrimental to your success, to your growth.
Well, and
I wish I could remember this guy's name.
Yeah.
If anyone remembers his name, he's got, like, a beard that kind of goes to a point. It's mixed with, like, gray hair, I guess.
Andy Frisella?
No.
Oh.
No, he's not. He always wears, like, a suit. He has, like, a board behind him all the time. This is on Instagram. Oh. I don't know. Maybe I get different things than everyone else. I don't know. But, you know, it's very, you know, inspirational.
Well, and like workplace culture is already so hard to cultivate because you have so many different personalities in the same small space that it's hard to get that culture.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. There's a ton of different kinds of people where I work. So
yeah,
I don't talk to anybody.
And I mean, I've worked at three different law firms now. 1%. I've worked at three different law firms now, and each one of them had such different work culture. Mm-hmm. And one of them was like nice. I liked it. One, not so much. And where I am now is my favorite for sure.
Yeah.
But it's hard to find that because one person comes in and they completely change it.
And comfortability too will nip you in the butt, right?
Yeah. Complacency.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wanted to add something. I sent you guys something, I think, on Instagram. I was going to try and bring it up, but it basically was Zuckerberg talking about the augment glasses. Mm-hmm. So I know you were talking about it on the podcast, and yeah, he's coming up with them this month. And it's like you can stare at something and it has an AI in it, so it learns what it's doing, and it's literally if you're trying to put something together, it'll give you a video and it'll tell you how to put it together and stuff.
Nice. The design you're looking at, thinking behind that and this whole like revolution of next gen equipment is insane.
Yeah. Well, and Google tried to come out with VR goggles that you could just wear like out in public, and they were supposed to look like glasses, but I don't think they employed a lot of design thinking because they were hideous. Like,
Zuckerberg teamed up with Ray-Ban, so they're Ray-Ban glasses.
Yeah. That's status symbol.
Yeah.
People will wear that.
So
nailed it.
Yeah.
That's definitely design thinking.
That's why it all puts it together with what you were talking about. I'm like, okay. And he's doing what.
And these are being used in schools right now.
Yeah.
Which I seen the other day.
That's the Oculus.
Plumbers. Yeah. Plumbers were using. Yeah, but a headset, you know, it's the same, like VR, or is this augmented?
We're talking about augmented.
Augmented. Yeah. Oh, shit.
Yes. Yes. Augmented glasses. Yeah. Like you're looking, they were in Italy actually while the demonstration, what he was explaining. I wanted to throw it up on the screen here for us to see, but yeah, he was explaining it and it was like, if you're staring at something and you want to know the history behind it, it'll tell you what it is, what you're looking at basically. And then it was he said something about putting something together and like knowing how to put it all together, like
deep government mind control. That's how they're doing it.
I don't know. I just thought it was very interesting. Pre-orders go on sale this month. So October.
Do we know a price on that?
Actually, it was like really affordable, $300 or something.
$300 a unit?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, $350 or something. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure. I think that's U.S. So.
Oh, don't matter. That is affordable.
It is. Yeah.
I mean, maybe not for a lot of people, but that like for what you're
people,
getting.
People buy $1,200 phones. I'm sure they'll come up with
Yeah, for the mass population, plans, they'll get it.
Yeah, I'm totally getting it.
Yeah.
I'm definitely... It'll be that just like the community of Apple, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's just that status that you're talking about too. Yeah. Like, you know, maybe you get, like we've talked about before, like you'll see the advertisement for things that other people won't.
Well, what's crazy is that you'll be able eventually. And this is Facebook, Zuckerberg. It's a basically they have facial recognition
the entire time.
So you're looking at somebody. Whoever wears those glasses will know exactly who you are and all your socials.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that person, yeah, he owns such and such. Or that person, that guy's net worth is such and such. It's going to be crazy.
Well, the amount of data they'll have on each person, like if you want to know the deepest, darkest, most intimate things about people, you could easily find those out, you know, by just while they're doing something, they're watching a video, you could easily throw in a picture of whatever you want and see how their pupils dilate to that for a second and they won't even catch it, you know, but they'll catch it, but it won't be like, you know, obvious to them.
Mm-hmm.
But it will be to the person watching their pupils. That's crazy, man.
I think they've already really done that about. With this, with the heat monitor. Yeah. And then you're looking at your phone all the time. What do you think this is doing?
It's recording everything. Your heart rate would do the same shit. Yeah.
Sorry, we derailed from that.
No, that's okay.
But it's products.
Great little side conversation there. I want to talk about that more later.
Yeah, I'll show you.
Yeah, very cool.
So one major obstacle to design thinking, which I think everyone has felt before, is perfectionism.
Oh, yeah.
So you're trying to get it perfect. Yeah, and perfect. Nothing's perfect. So
perfect.
That can be a huge obstacle. You need to know when it's good enough for market.
Perfect.
Know when to hold them. Know when to fold them.
Know when to walk away.
Nice.
And yeah, the one that we talked about a lot already is the refusal to reframe. Like, you just don't want to let go of the idea.
I'm not fucking leaving!
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good.
That was a great one.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I think I know a lot more about...
Apple?
Yeah. No, the design thinking.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's crazy how, like, there's so many there's a lot of terminology for a lot of different things out there, you know, and sometimes you don't know them, but you do these things anyways. That was this for me.
Well, it's a good strategy. If you have a really hard problem or if you're trying to start a business, a service, you have a product, like, really go through these phases and get human input. That's huge.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to users.
I'm going to take this time to say a special thanks to one of our viewers for telling us that something was messed up on our podcast.
Oh,
so
yes.
It is fixed, hopefully, and you guys will have audio when we switch to our screens. So
sorry about that.
Yeah, still working on stuff. So like, subscribe, do whatever you want, comment.
Share
with a friend.
Yeah. Especially if you like that we fixed that problem. Give us a like for that. Yeah?
Do you guys have anything else to say?
I think I'm good.
Cool.
Design Thinking with When Opportunity Knocks Podcast, a Triple H production.
Woo!